Hello, everybody. You are listening to Corpse Run Radio. This is Ian Hazzikostas, and enjoy.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken. We are the Forsaken. We were denied even the release of death. Now, we burn this Wicker Man as a symbol of our victory against old enemies. We paint our faces with the ash to send a message to new enemies. A declaration to those who fear and revile us as monsters. To those who would question our place in this world, we are not monsters. We are not the mindless wretches of a ghoul army. No! We are a force even more terrifying! We are a chill in a coward's spine. We are the instruments of an unyielding ire. We are the Forsaken!
Behold, the Queen of the Damned. The darkness has not taken me yet. The Dark Lady watches over you.
Welcome back, Dark Lady. And welcome back, dear listeners. After a fairly lengthy hiatus, we're back. And really, could there be a better time in the year to return than this? Hallow's End. That's right, Hallow's End, our favorite holiday of all, is back. Here now, to start it off, since you didn't come here to hear me talk, is Noble 87 with his lore about the Headless Horseman.
Prepare yourselves. The bells have tolled. Shelter your weak, your young, and your old. Each of you shall pay the final sum. Cry for mercy. The reckoning has come.
Hello everyone! Every year, with Hallow's End, the screams of the Headless Horseman fill the sky. We were not always forced to listen to his rhymes, once the Headless Horseman was a noble paladin by the name of Sir Thomas, and this is his tragic story. In this time period, Kel'Thuzad had started to spread his plague amongst the citizens of Lordaeron. This plague was inside the grain and it turned innocent civilians into scourge. Prince Arthas, Jaina and others who followed him tried to stop Kel'Thuzad and his plague from spreading. Their journey would take them to Strathholm, where Arthas' lust for vengeance made him decide to purge the city.
Glad you could make it, Uther.
Watch your tone with me, boy. You may be the prince, but I'm still your superior as a paladin.
As if I could forget. Listen, Uther. There's something about the plague you should know. Oh no. We're too late. These people have all been infected. They may look fine now, but it's just a matter of time before they turn into the undead.
What?
This entire city must be purged.
How can you even consider that? There's got to be some other way.
Damn it, Uther. As your future king, I order you to purge this city.
You are not my king yet, boy. Nor would I obey that command even if you were.
Then I must consider this an act of treason.
Treason? Have you lost your mind, Arthas?
Have I? Lord Uther, by my right of succession and the sovereignty of my crown, I hereby relieve you of your command and suspend your paladins from service.
Arthas, you can't just...
It's done. Those of you who have the will to save this land, follow me. The rest of you, get out of my sight.
You've just crossed a terrible threshold, Arthas.
Sir Thomas was a member of the Silver Hand, a righteous paladin, and he, like Uther, decided to walk away from Arthas and his mad decision to purge the city. Surely there had to be a better way to fight the plague and the scourge besides murdering innocent villagers and hoping that you kill the infected. That left them with the task of trying to defend the villages against the scourge while Arthas made his way to Northrend. Their food supplies ran short since they could no longer trust the grain. Thomas began to doubt the light. Despite all his praying, despite their relentless battles, they could not drive out the plague that was the scourge. Surely their suffering must have a higher purpose, but Sir Thomas could not see it, and he begged the light for guidance. In his moment of doubt, a shipment of fresh food sent by Baron Rivendare arrived in town, and Sir Thomas thought that he was a fool to ever doubt the light. He prayed once more to the light, and he said, "May this trial strengthen the people of Lordaeron and make us worthier agents of your loving purpose." The food did bring strength to the villagers, but not as Sir Thomas expected. Baron Rivendare was a longtime friend of Kel'Thuzad, and he had joined the Cult of the Damned. The food sent by him was just as plagued as the grain was, and the villagers Sir Thomas had fought to protect now turned against him. He used the powers of the Holy Light to smite them down, and he reported the news of Rivendare to the others. Thomas blamed himself. He should have seen it coming, should have known that this food would push the villagers into the hands of the scourge. But the others assured him that he could not have known, and the guilt was not for him, but for those who betrayed them. Thomas was sent home to his loving wife and two children, so he could get some rest before the next battle and enjoy what he still had. On his way home, Sir Thomas ran into a pack of scourge, but he managed to slay them and find his wife waiting for him. Arthas returned from Northrend and had killed his own father. So in the meantime, Sir Thomas spent some quality time with his family. He told his children stories, and eventually news got out that Jaina Proudmoore was taking all those willing to Kalimdor. Thomas urged his wife to take the children, leave him behind and go with them, but she would not go without him. High Lord Mograine, together with a mighty weapon called the Ashbringer, had killed many of the scourge, and his wife was certain that Uther and Mograine together would free the land of Lordaeron from the scourge infestation. In the meantime, she and the children would stand at Thomas's side and wait for him. Sir Thomas was a blessed man. The very next day, a messenger arrived bringing some very bad news. Uther had been slain by the hands of Arthas, and many of the other paladins fell as well. Sir Thomas was called to join the remaining paladins of the Silver Hand and fight against the scourge. He begged his wife to take the children and leave this doomed land. Get on a ship, follow Jaina to Kalimdor before it was too late. A storm was approaching, so they had to hurry, and finally his wife agreed. He placed them on the ship, and for 4 long years, the Knights of the Silver Hand battled against the scourge, and eventually they would become the Scarlet Crusade, and they rallied behind one great man. High Lord Alexandros Mograine wielded the Ashbringer, and with it wielded a righteous fury guided by the light. This blade was incredibly powerful, and the paladin who used it was no pushover either. Until the one day would come that not the scourge, but his own flesh and blood would betray him and strike him in his back. His oldest son, Renaud Mograine, made a deal with Sadan Davrohan, and Sadan was actually murdered, and the Dreadlord Balnazar used his form as a disguise to lead the Scarlet Crusade into ruin. Balnazar had made a deal with Kel'Thuzad that they would kill off the main threat for the Scourge and put Balnazar in a more secure position with the Scarlet Crusade. If Renaud could lead his father into a trap, then Sadan would give him a high position within the Scarlet Crusade. Renaud led his father to Strathholme, where a large group of Scourge was waiting for him. His father, despite being greatly outnumbered, was able to kill all the scourge, but the battle did weaken him. He dropped the blade, the Ashbringer, and at that moment his son picked it up and struck his father in his back. Another great man fallen to the madness of the Scourge. Another blow for Sir Thomas. Having a Dreadlord as your leader is not good for any organization, and the Scarlet Crusade already started with a lot of damaged and madly devoted people. Eventually, as time went on, they lost sight of what evil they were fighting. The Lich King first used grain to taint their people and turn them into Scourge. But who could say what methods he now used? How do you know who to trust? How many ordinary looking people had already fallen to the temptation of immortality? How many among them were actually already part of the Scourge, even though they looked like innocents? When the Scarlet Crusade reached the town for a plague check, all seemed normal, which made it all the more suspicious. How was it possible that this town offered shelter, had food supplies, and was able to defend itself against the Scourge? Surely this must be another Scourge conspiracy, and the best they could offer them was a clean death.
I can only help you with a clean death. That was just the beginning.
Sir Thomas, in all his years of fighting the Scourge, finally fell to the same trap as Arthas had. He purged the city, killed innocents, until finally he struck down a woman trying to flee with her two children. He killed her, he killed her son, he killed her daughter, but as he struck the child, she turned around to face him. It was a familiar face, the one of his own beloved daughter. A storm was brewing when he placed his family on the ship, and apparently they didn't manage to leave the harbor in time. They had found refuge within this town, and in his mad conquest, he had done the unthinkable. He had killed his own beloved wife and children. At that moment, Sir Thomas snapped. Countless blows were dealt to our Sir Thomas. The light had forsaken him, and the Scarlet Crusade had guided him to a path of madness. His brothers and sisters of the Crusade locked him away as he dealt with his grief. But Sir Thomas was too far gone. He laughed and howled and cried, and he yelled creepy rhymes that would stick in your head for days and give you nightmares. The leader of the Crusade, Belnazar, in the disguise of Satan, told them that there was nothing to worry about. We all deal with our grief in different ways, and he had a plan. On that night, the night of Hollow's End, the people of Azeroth come together to burn a wicker man. As they throw the torch into the fire, they also cast away their grief and everything they want to leave behind and not take with them into winter. Belnazar thought it would be a good idea to let Sir Thomas out. Isolation did him no good, so a change of pace might do the trick. As they had hoped, Sir Thomas struck out against the Scourge. His attacks drew their attention, and the Scarlet Crusade moved to help their brother, only to find out that he was their brother no longer. He slaughtered anything and everything in his path, chanting his creepy rhymes. With no other choice left, they decapitated Sir Thomas and ended his madness. Or so they thought. Belnazar had other plans with his corpse, and he infused it with fell magic and resurrected Sir Thomas as the Headless Horseman. Now, every year, on the night of Hollow's End, the Headless Horseman rides the sky. I fought for you. I fought in vain. Now scatter, scurry, shriek in pain. No mercy on this night abides, on Hollow's End, when the Horseman rides. Cry for mercy, little children, when he burns down your house. This horseman has lost it, and now he believes that everyone is evil. Kel'Thuzad, the Scourge, and even Arthas have done a lot of damage to the land of Lordaeron, and the once righteous Sir Thomas is one of the most damaged beings to come out of that war. A paladin once holy and righteous saw his order fall, his king die, the people he wanted to protect turn into Scourge, his land in ruins, and finally the Scarlet Crusade pushed him into the darkness that took so many before. Killing his own family was the final straw, and now the Headless Horseman can no longer see the difference between friend or foe. In his eyes, all of us, from orphans to kings, all of us look like the Scourge that took away everything from him.
Fire consumes! You've tried and failed! Let there be no doubt! Justice prevailed!
Happy Halloween, everyone! I hope you get lots of candy and that nobody tries to burn down your house or annoy you with silly rhymes. Subscribe if you like my videos! And until next time, guys, see ya!
This end have I reached before. What new adventure lies in store?
Gigi, are you here? Something has happened.
Charm? What is it? What's wrong?
The curse! It's spreading! It got King Greymane and half of Gilneas has already been infected. You must try to escape with Mum.
But what about you?
I'll be right behind you guys. I need to find Ian and make sure he's safe. I can't leave him behind.
But how can we escape? And where will we go? How do we pass the wall?
Don't worry, G. It's all planned out. You must meet with Darius Cowley tonight at midnight behind the bakery. He's leading a group of us to safety. He knows a way to the countryside. That's where we can meet, after I get Ian.
I don't know, Charm. What's if we don't make it? What's if Ian is already infected and he attacks you? Please, Charm, we need you. I need you. Come with us. Please.
Don't you worry, Gigi. I'll meet you before sunup at our rendezvous spot in the countryside. I have no doubt in my heart that Darius will get you there safely. No, I love you always, no matter what, and no curse could ever take that away. There's no time now, though. You must go get Mum and meet Darius.
Fine. You can count on me. I'll see you on the other side. Hurry up. Don't make us wait too long. I love you.
Charm, you're all out of breath. What's wrong?
Madam Kay, have you seen Ian? It's urgent that I find him right away.
Yes, dear. He's in the back. Playing cards with those ridiculous mercenaries from Pyrewood. What's the emergency, sweet thing?
The curse. It's here. It started at the keep and spread. And now it's reached Gilneas. We must all get out before it's too late.
There is a house in Gilneas. They call the rising sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor girl, and God, I know I'm one. My mother was a tailor. She sewed my new blue jeans. My sweetheart, he was a gambler. They call the rise.
an absolutely awesome performance of their own version of House of the Rising Sun by Gigi, Charm and Kalis. Thank you, ladies. Next up, we're gonna hear from Slightly Impressive what it's like when you play the other faction.
Lost.
What?
I said lost.
Sounds like a personal issue to me.
Lost, you guys.
Oh, are we shouting out our favorite of the seven deadly sins?
Gluttony.
Sloth.
Greed.
Pug. Alliance mains.
Hero.
I know, my DPS is amazing, isn't it?
No, hero. Is that someone's name?
Wait, that's like a Greek sandwich, right? Maybe she's just hungry.
Ugh, hard mains.
All right, it's gonna feel so good to finally win one of these. Loktar, oh god, oh!
All right, it's going to feel so good to finally win one of these. For the Alliance, ah!
Wait, how did, which one was, oh no.
Oh, this just feels so wrong.
Oh, right.
Oh, I should stop here and sell off my, oops.
Oh no, I'm getting healed! Stop healing me! I'm out of my mind! Save yourself!
Sargeras went down to Argus, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, found the Draenei, he was willing to make a deal. When he came across three Eredar and quite the trio they wrought, then Sargeras jumped on a hickory stump and said,
"Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a light worshipper too. And if you care to take the tail, I'll make a bell with you. Now you got a pretty good plan in here, but give this time is due. I'll give you power untold for your soul, cause I can use all of it."
Then one said, "My name's Velen, and it might be a sin, but I refuse your bet, you're gonna regret, cause I'm the lightest as ever been.
Velen, gather up your goats for your extra, cause Argus is in ruin and Sargeras is in charge. And if you please save your people, and for years atone, but if you lose, Sargeras, it's your soul."
Flash forward to the present, Illidan said, "I'll start the show." Fell blue from his fingertips as he opened up a hole. And with a shock upon his face, Khadgar made an angry hiss. Then the demon hunters joined in, and it sounded something like this. Said, "Oh no, what have you done?" But Velen went to his ship and said, "Let me show you how it's done."
Velen, the arms go, boys go. Sargeras sitting up on the burning throne. Make a car load up, hope it don't blow. Here we go, take flight, light speed, go.
Saw his seat, and he laid the golden heart of that there Zira at her feet. Velen said, "Sargeras, come on back if you wanna try this again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the lightest it's ever been." He went,
"Velen, the arms go, boys go. Sargeras sitting up on the burning throne. Get a car load up, hope it don't blow. Here we go, take flight, light speed, go."
We'll be right back.
Kavo, I must say, this is one of the best versions I know of parody for The Devil Went Down to Georgia. As you've heard now, Kavo 350 with Sargeras Went Down to Argus. Just amazing songwriting. Next, we have a new addition to our Corpse Run Radio contributors lineup. It's Hazel from Hazel Nutty Games. Expect some more of her work to be featured on Corpse Run Radio in the upcoming episodes. I have just gotten her permission to use her content literally 5 minutes ago. As the first clip from her YouTube channel, I've chosen, even though it's 2 years old, but it's still valid because some people don't really know how the mechanic works to unlock these pets. What I'm talking about are the garrison pets, the three undead pets that you can obtain in your garrison. But what am I telling you about that? Let her explain all the things. Here is Hazel.
Hello, Internet. I'm Hazel, and this is a look at the three new battle pets available for Hallow's End this year. The event lasts until noon on November the 1st. You can get all three new pets in one day, so you may as well get it done. The whole process should take you less than 30 minutes. First, you're going to need some spooky supplies. In your garrison, you should find a quest giver with some new dailies for you. Pick those up and then go do them. All of these spooky quests are very straightforward kill quests and should be no trouble at level 100. Completing the batch should get you the 5 spooky supplies that you need. Next, talk to the decorations vendor next to the quest giver. You'll want to get the Creepy Crawler's Garrison decorations. Buy the item, use it, and your garrison should become significantly spookier. Make sure that you're tracking battle pets and you'll see spectral spinners, ghastly rats, and ghost maggots skittering about. You can catch them just like any wild pet, and their backline pets will be normal pets from your garrison zone. Like wild pets, these new guys are available in a variety of breeds and rarities, so you can keep looking until you find the ones you want. They'll be about level 23-ish, so make sure that you have a couple max level pets that can capture your target and then finish the fight. If you're really in a hurry or you don't want to decorate your garrison, you could use the group finder to visit someone else who has done that bit already. While in their garrison, you can capture the pets that you want. On the same leaf, if you do transform your garrison, you can share it with your friends and then make sure that everybody gets their spooky new pets. Now that we have our new pets, let's take a quick look at them. The Spectral Spider is an undead pet with a unique moveset. He has access to both the Sticky Web Leech Life combo and the Blinding Poison Spectral Strike combo. He's got a Bone Spider model except ghostier. The Ghastly Rat also has a unique moveset with a blend of undead and critter moves. You could do a good bit of damage by combining Rabid Strike and Ghostly Bite, but at what cost? It's like Howlbomb's ugly friend. The Ghost Maggot has the distinction of being the only attainable grub with teeth. He's equipped with a very tanky moveset and could survive well against a Dragonkin foe. And that's the new pets. Before you put the holiday from your mind, type Hallow into your pet journal to double check that you have all of the old pets from this event. You can get the Kitties for tricky treats, the Sinister Squashling from the Headless Horseman Daily, and the Creepy Crate from a quest chain. Thanks for watching! Have a safe and spooky Hallow's End and a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye!
Hello everyone! This song was written and recorded and finalized long before we knew how we got our new Warchief. So I did some speculation, and I set some character styling, and I hope you love it. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and enjoy! Be prepared.
I practically handed you the headhunters' heads on a platter, and you couldn't even dispose of them.
Well, you know, he wasn't exactly alone, Dark Lady.
Yeah, what are we supposed to do?
Kill a war chief?
Precisely.
We've all been ignored and been threatened, and so many have wished we just died. Our chance has arrived. Pay attention,
for soon we won't regain our pride. It's clear that we have an advantage. The factions are in disarray. The Alliance King and Horde War Chief never could even predict this day. The campaign that we plan won't be easy. We must strike while the iron is hot. The time to move forward to take over the Horde.
Forsaken our Lord.
Your service all reward. My plan is beginning. Their heads will be spinning when it's time for my people to rise. With the plague that leaves no living spared, be prepared.
Prepared? We'll be prepared. For what?
For the death of the king.
Varian sick?
No, fool. We're gonna kill him. And Bulgin, too.
Great idea. Who needs a war chief?
No chief. La 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 la.
Idiots! There will be a war chief.
Hey, but you said...
I will be war chief. Stick with me, and you'll never be exiled again.
Contempt and suspicion. So long all our strength was ignored.
It's high time we change our position. But soon we'll be leading the Horde. The future belongs to Forsaken. So pardon my duplicity. At dawn when our new world awakens, we claim the undead. Be prepared for the war of the damned. We've stood in the shadows, protected status quo. No more necromancy. From now on I will be the war chief of Banshee, your lich queen, dark lady, and see for the wonder I am. From the darkness our wills are declared. Be prepared.
Yes, the living had better be scared.
Be prepared.
That was Silver Latomi with a WoW parody, Be Prepared. As she said in the beginning, she, together with Rowan of Moonguard, wrote the song way ahead of knowing what the Legion storyline would turn out to be. So kudos really to those two for coming up with a story that really turned out to be mostly right. Very nice, very good song. Thank you very much. All right, next up we have Asmongold with his segment, with his video on YouTube called What Blizzard Hopefully Learned from Mythic Plus Invitational. Now I have to say, and people that are familiar with Asmongold know that as well as I do, he has quite the colorful language, and this is supposed to be a clean-ish podcast, so if you hear the one or the other bump in the voice of Asmongold, that's because I had to edit a little. I hope people are okay with that, because we really want to make this as listener friendly as possible. If you want a explicit podcast, this is really not your place to come. Alright, without further ado, Asmongold.
Sup y'all, it's me, it's your boy Asmongold, and today I want to talk to you guys about the Mythic Plus Invitational and what I hope that Blizzard learns from it. Now, as I'm sure a lot of you probably know, the Mythic Plus Invitational has been going on for the past 2 to 3 weeks in terms of the competitive games on the Warcraft page on Twitch. And the first thing that I want to talk about is the viewership, because, oh my god, yo, the viewership for the Mythic Plus Invitational has been absolutely ridiculous. Like, I mean, we've been seeing 30,000 viewers. People are saying, wow, it's a dead game. Apparently not for Mythic Plus. And I think that it makes perfect sense, by the way, that a lot more people are watching Mythic Plus than PvP, because whenever you compare the Mythic Plus Invitational numbers to the PvP numbers, it's absolutely completely different. The PvP numbers, you're seeing infrequent peaks at 15,000, 20,000. Mythic Plus Invitational, you are seeing a steady number of 25 to 30,000 viewers watching this tournament. So obviously there are much more people engaged. I think there's tons of different reasons of that. PvP is deathmatch style. I don't really think that's as interesting for people than watching the dungeons. Also, I think you'd be pretty hard pressed to find somebody who's playing Legion that hasn't at least had a bit of a foray into the Mythic Plus system. So whenever they actually watch the Mythic Plus tournament, they can understand what's going on and they can put the dots together. And even though they don't understand all the little intricacies and the pulls that are being executed on the screen in the tournament, they can still understand what the pulls are, what the mobs do, and they have a better understanding of the dungeons and the tournament in general because they've taken part in things like that themselves. And whenever you compare that over to the PvP side, not a lot of people take part in PvP, not a lot of people take part in arena, and not a lot of people take part in competitive arena. So there's a lot of concentric circles that you have in terms of potential audience. And also, whenever you compare that to the amount of infrastructure that PvP tournaments have had compared to the infrastructure that the Mythic Plus Invitational has had, and also on top of that, the marketing, right? I think the Mythic Plus Invitational has had like two tweets about it whenever it was going out. I mean, for me personally, it's like if I open up the launcher right now, like, let me see if it's up. Brewfest is now live. Like, what about the Mythic Plus Invitational? What about, I mean, I'll open up the launcher, it says Brewfest is now live. It's like they're not even advertising this gigantic tournament that's happening, that's like making history for the game. The first time there's ever been any sort of a Blizzard-sponsored PvE tournament that's making amazing numbers, and we're talking about Rams and Kodos and beer. What the... Sausage Chats now, as of last year, too. It's ridiculous, right? And I think Blizzard really needs to do a better job. So that's the first thing I hope they learn, is that a lot of people are engaged in Mythic Plus. Everybody takes part in Mythic Plus. Not everybody, but almost everybody takes part in Mythic Plus that's playing the game. It's incredibly lucrative, so lots of people do it. It's the same as PvP was back in the day. Not as much now, though. And also, they need to advertise it better. I really hope they advertise it better. And that's going to help not only the tournament in terms of the viewership, but it's also going to help the players. Like, there's no way that you can tell me that Quinn69, that Zachary Gaming, Massive, my boy, like, there's no way you can tell me those guys haven't gotten a huge boost for how well they've done in the Mythic Plus tournaments, okay? And if they win or if they lose, it doesn't matter. It matters because they competed. So if you're not going to do it for any other reason, do it to help those people out and do it to help build the community. So I would love to see more emphasis on community building, more emphasis on figuring out what those players are about, interviews with the players, discussions with strategies at the end of the matches. And also at the same time, I've been seeing a lot of breaks, right, in the Mythic Plus tournaments and the way that's working. I would love to see those breaks replaced with some sort of analytical desk with other very, very high-end players discussing the strategies that were used, the different class comps that are coming together. As an example, I was watching the match between, I think it was Premonition and Deplete, and they were in Arcway, and basically having a Warlock allows you to mind control some ads an Arcway, and that gives you a unique advantage because mind controlling some of those adds not only gives you extra damage, but it also gives you the access to one of those adds abilities that gives you a buff on one of your party members that you can choose to make that player. I think it gives them basically heroism, so it's like 30% haste, I think, and then it also makes them do 30% more damage. So that's a huge advantage that Warlocks have, and I'd really like to see that stuff more fleshed out in an analyst desk during the breaks in the tournament. And I think that would also make things more interesting and keep viewers engaged during those breaks while different matches are getting set up. And also at the same time, it would help to serve to build the community, helped you know, like people that maybe they're just trying to get their plus 10 done and they never thought about the idea of mind controlling an ad, but whenever they see that on the tournament, they think, hey, maybe I'll do that myself. So not only does it help the viewers, but it also helps build the community and helps people understand those strategies, and it will help the players that are actually just taking part in the game. So I think there's going to be a huge overall advantage to that. Obviously, I don't think the analyst desk should play a huge part, right? Because the most important part of a tournament is the gameplay. But in the points where they do have breaks, which is quite often, I would love to see the casters turn it over to the analyst desk to break things down on a much more, a much more specific level to help explain it not only for the viewers, but also... not only so they can understand what's happening, but so they can maybe apply it themselves whenever they want to go in there and do it themselves. Like what I was saying with like Shroud of Concealment, mind controls, enslaved demons, etc. I would love to see that. And also another thing that's very, very important is the UI of the tournament. I think that the UI of the tournament, you guys have to keep this in mind, the UI of the tournament is in the most rudimentary stage it's ever going to be in, right? I mean, this is the first time they've ever done anything like this on this level. So to see that happening, I think that the UI is okay. I'm very glad they added damage meters. I'm very glad they added healing meters. And the next thing that I'd really like to see them do, two things, actually. Number one would be POVs of the very, very high damage classes. So like if you're going to do like a huge pull, right? Like give it the POV of like the Arms Warrior or something like that. If you're doing a POV of like a ranged class doing some sort of like very complicated mechanic or dealing with some boss mechanic, do that. Maybe a POV of like the tank whenever it's very, very high tank damage, etc. I'd love to see that if it wouldn't be too disruptive. And also the next thing is I would really like to see above the nameplate bars, on the actual screen, I'd like to see different cooldowns being used, like so the little squares on a cooldown, same as like we see in the game. If you like apply a debuff to another player, so I'm talking about like like Battle Cry, Celestial Alignment for Druids. What are the other ones? Pillar of Frost, the Wings. What is it? Avenging Wrath. I think some of these telegraph better than others, but I think also having those little buttons there would help the viewer understand. Okay, when's there going to be a lot of damage going out? When is there not going to be as much damage going out? And just helping the viewers understand exactly what's going on. And I don't really think that would be too disruptive, and it would be too much of an over-design of what the tournament already is. So I would love to see those nameplate bars added in with a little bit of cooldowns and maybe also like a Hellstone thing. Another thing that's possible is that whenever they're actually showing the different groups of different players, whenever they're loading in, I would like to see player cards that would show like the character's name, maybe who's playing it, like a Twitter account of that person, just to help those people out. And then also maybe some rows of talents to see exactly what talents this player is using for that specific dungeon. And even though they're going to be changed throughout the dungeon, a showing of the two legendaries they're starting off the dungeon with. I think if they added all of those, I think it would also really help the viewers and help people understand what's actually going into it, and it would help them look and see, okay, this is why this person's using this, this is why this person isn't using it, and it would give the viewers, and I think that's a really big thing of why the Mythic Plus Invitational is so successful, is that so many people are already doing Mythic Plus, they understand what's going on, they understand like what the time loss, whatever the Mariner is in Mossels, they understand how he works. You have to burn him down before he casts usually the second Lantern of Darkness. So players understanding more of the tournament will, I think, lead to higher viewership because they can understand it on a much more, competitive level, and it will be more enjoyable for them to see different teams succeed and also to see different teams fail. So I would really like to see better UI features, and that would be number one, and maybe also like a little box next to, because they're using details as the damage meter, they show the character's class, maybe like two little boxes next to the class, like the little sword for like warriors or whatever, two little boxes that show tiny little tooltips for what the legendaries that they're using are, in terms of a dynamic thing that will happen throughout the run. Right, so I'd really, really like to see that. And those are some positive things, but I do want to talk about some clown shit that's happened too, okay? These are both stupid, right? I think that the production needs to be better. There was like a thing where people were queuing into the tournament servers, and they were reserving people's names. Like, I think that Quinn had like his name reserved by other people, and then the tournament people didn't actually sort everything out until the last 10 minutes. Quinn had a name that violated the TOS, and so they made him change his name right before. And I just feel like it's kind of a situation where like kind of everybody's at fault. I think like Blizzard should have probably sorted that out way before the match, so people wouldn't have any sort of doubt as to like whether there was a fair tournament that occurred. I think one of the worst things to happen in one of these tournaments is for people to think that it was somehow rigged or somehow unfair. So going along with also probably a little bit better pre-planning and production quality for that in terms of managing the players, I would also like to see, and I think everybody would like to see this, let's be honest, they need to fix the bugs. Like, what kind of a joke is it that in the middle of Maw of Souls, in front of 30,000 people, some tank gets stuck in the cage. That was happening in beta, and they still can't fix this. It's like, if it's that much of a problem and you can't fix it, just have people spawn not in the cage. Yeah, it takes a little bit of immersion away, but so does having to relog your character whenever you get disconnected. Now, and you can also argue, right, that the people that I think that had that happen, they still lost the match, and I think they had a rematch, but you can't say that that isn't tilting, and that doesn't really throw off your competitive focus, and it will really, really upset players, and that mindset that you have in a tournament is extremely important, and anything that subverts that, I think, is something, especially in terms of a bug, is something that should never happen. And this is something that has been an issue not only with Maw of Souls. There have been a number of other dungeons. The first boss in Court of Stars will sometimes just randomly kill you, even though you're obviously not standing inside the ground effects. And there are a couple of other bugs in Court of Stars and other dungeons as well that Blizzard has just decided not to fix. I think that by the time they do the next Mythic Plus tournament, or hopefully by the time they do the finals of this one, they really need to sort that out because it's embarrassing for them. It makes the tournament look bad. It makes people not take it seriously. And also, it's frustrating for everybody else in the game that's been having to deal with this for an entire year. So I would love to see them fix these bugs. I think Legion has been probably one of the worst expansions in terms of Blizzard having game-breaking bugs in the game ever since the game came out, and nothing has been done, nothing has been said, and it's just extremely frustrating. You've got the Gul'dan, the ledge bug, where if you fall off the ledge, your character is completely bugged out, and it'll just like instantly die and stuff. On top of that, you've got the Fellrush disconnect bug, you had the Warrior Class Order Hall bug, which actually was fixed, so that's an example of the other side. You've got the Maw of Souls bug, you've got the Court of Stars bug, you've got the pre-made group finder bugs, where it'll automatically delist. There are plenty of bugs that are in the game that are very disruptive, and very just like game breaking in a lot of ways, especially if you're playing in a tournament and you're going for a timer. And it's embarrassing, honestly, that that stuff happens in the middle of a tournament, and it should never happen. It shouldn't have even been there in the first place. And the best thing that we can hope for now is that this will put a spotlight on it and Blizzard will actually take it seriously in the future, because I don't know about you guys, but after you see a bug in a game for a year, it's pretty hard to feel like they actually give a f- anyway. On top of that, battle reses are something that I know that a lot of people have talked about. One of the big differences between, like Mythic Plus and, and Raiding is that Mythic Plus does not throttle battle reses in the same way that Raiding does. In Raiding, you immediately get one battle res at the start of the fight, and throughout the fight, more battle reses recharge. But in Mythic Plus, there are no timers on battle reses, and that does make certain tanks and certain classes more appealing because of that utility that they bring. A lot of times, there are certain mechanics, especially on very, very high tyrannical levels, that you basically have to suicide for. So if you're talking about like the Amalgam of Corruption, or Amalgam of Souls, I think, on the first boss in Black Rook Hold, a lot of times you'll let all the spirits go through and let everybody use an immunity, and if you have somebody like a warrior, for example, that doesn't have any immunity, whenever he does the big explosion, it will just kill the warrior, and then you res him, and that's actually part of the strategy. So it's not necessarily something as simple as saying that, you should never die, because actually dying in some strategies for very high-level Mythic Plus is actually part of the strategy. So I think that making battle reses, or at least re-envisioning or maybe readjusting or looking at battle reses differently for Mythic Plus could be something that they should do, because it does make Death Knight tanks and Druid tanks superior because they have that. We have been seeing a little bit of Demon Hunter tanks and Brewmaster tanks. I haven't really seen much at all Prot Warrior tanks. But I do think battle reses does absolutely make those two tanks much more powerful. And also, of course, you have Druid healers, very, very common. Druid DPS, very common. And just generally, classes that have battle reses, because they don't really have the same throttling mechanism that they do in raids, it does make them very, very strong in Mythic Plus. So Blizzard might want to look at that. I'm not really sure which side of the fence to fall off on that for yet, though. The last thing that I want to talk about is something that a lot of people have been mentioning, especially people who are very, very competitive in pushing Mythic Plus. The idea of getting more pieces of loot is cool, right? Whenever you do dungeons above like a 10 or a 15 or whatever, depending on what stage in the patch it is. But ultimately, what I think would be more compelling is some sort of like in-game rewards. People have talked a lot about Mythic Plus seasons, the same as PvP. So people would compete for like completing a plus 20, completing a plus 25, completing a plus 17, plus 18, plus 22, plus 23, whatever. Completing one of those dungeons would give you some sort of a title, and you would only have a limited time, amount of time to complete those dungeons. I think that could potentially be a positive thing. It could be a negative thing. I think if you make it a leaderboard in the same way that PvP is, where only the top 0.5% of people can actually achieve this, it might not necessarily be the best solution. I would like to see a solution that was similar to the Mists of Pandaria system with bronze, silver, and gold, where people who reached a certain level got the bronze or, you know, like whatever they want to call the titles or whatever, and maybe have a mount for the people that were able to complete a plus 20 or a plus 25, depending on where it is in the season. And I think that would create another incentive for those very, very high-end players to push towards that next level, and also at the same time, maybe inspire some people who aren't really quite there to get there themselves. So I don't really know about a Mythic Plus season idea. I think there are some negatives, but I do think that ultimately the positives probably outweigh the negatives, and it's something that would be interesting and definitely fun for players, and it could keep people engaged in another way. So anyway, guys, overall, I think the Mythic Plus Invitational has been absolutely incredible. I think that honestly, guys, this is something that we're probably going to see a lot more of. There's no way that Blizzard is looking at this and saying, let's not do this again, okay? Like, they're getting amazing viewership. They're engaging the community in a very, very big way. I think it's just been positive overall, and I'm really, really glad to see that happen, and I hope it continues even more. But anyway, guys, those are my suggestions. That's what I hope that Blizzard does going forward. That's what I hope that they consider going forward, and I'd like to hear yours as well. What do you think about the Mythic Plus Invitational? What are some changes that you'd like to see in Mythic Plus in general to make it more, watchable in terms of the tournament, or just different things you'd like to see in-game with Mythic Plus to draw in a bigger audience to hopefully boost up the tournament numbers as well. But anyway, guys, that's pretty much all I've got. So, thank you very much for watching, and like, comment, and subscribe.
Trick-or-treat all over the hollows and for you. The horsemen causing fires and wreaking some more havoc. So players throwing water, the hollows and for you.
Freaks! Sweets!
So use your hollow wand, there's pumpkins you can put on. Maybe burn some ligaments, the hollows and for you. Flying magic rooms and throwing up the candy. Your trick or treat all over, that's hollows and for you.
That's Hallow's End. Keshia, I think, is how you pronounce her name. A nice little thing to end the show for this week. Before I go, though, I have one last thing I want to play for you. It's a promo clip for Con Before the Storm, the Thursday night BlizzCon party.
The storm known as BlizzCon is almost upon us, and that means once again, it's time for podcasters, community personalities, and fans to come together for one of the largest gatherings created by fans for fans. It's Con Before the Storm, featuring the 5th annual World of Podcast. It's shaping up to be our largest World of Podcasts yet, with participants from over 50 podcasts and additional content being produced before and after the big party at the Anaheim Hilton on November 2nd. Even if you can't join us in Anaheim, we do invite you to check out the shows on Alpha Geek Radio or at twitch.tv/ConBeforeStorm. Can't listen to us live? We have you covered with podcast versions of our content available for download on demand via our World of Podcasts show feed on Google Music and Apple Podcasts. For complete information, show schedule, and much, much more, be sure to check out calmbeforestorm.com. And also don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @calmbeforestorm and at World of Podcasts.
As every show, sooner or later it has to come to an end. So at this point, I have to thank the contributors for this week. First of all, I want to thank Juno for letting me take over the reins from her. I'm sure I will never be able to replace her, but I hope that I can do a decent job in bringing content to you that warrants you downloading and listening to the show. All right, episode 28 with the following contributors. Kelis, Noble87, Gigi, Charm, Slightly Impressive, Cavo350, Hazelnutty Games, Silverlatomi, Rowan of Moonguard, Asmongold, Cassia, Bell of Pwncast, and Big Steve. He is going to take us out of the show with his original Corpse Run Radio song that he composed back in the day when we started the show. Thank you guys for listening, be it via download, via stream, whatever. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, and I hope you'll be back eventually for one of the next shows. You can find the show at crr.podbean.com. You can write to corpserunradio@gmail.com. You can download us on iTunes and Stitcher, Blueberry, and I don't know what else, but basically that's it. We have a Facebook page as well. You can get in touch with me on the Twitters at GrandNegus1 or write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. As I said, Big Steve is going to take us out with the Corpse Run Radio song. This has been GrandNegus. Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Have a happy Hallows End. Bye, guys.
I was lost and lonely, and something wasn't right. So I fired up my Android for a straight up podcast night. I listened to my favorites, but I didn't feel complete. There is so much more to WoW than what you did last week. There was something missing, and I needed one more show. It's Corpse Run Radio. Well, it doesn't matter if you're a rookie or hardcore. If you're drowning in leech sauce or you're tanking on the floor, yeah. We've got news and forum views, raids, music, pets, and lore. We'll answer all your questions and then we'll ask more. Our in-depth information is deeper than the dark below. It's Corpse Run Radio. Juno is the host with the most, and she's looking out for you. Hope you like our podcast. Hey, and thanks for listening too. Substandard guitar solo incoming.
Send me your questions, and I'll answer them in song. If you like my answers, then I'm sure we'll get along. Send requests to toastcrawler@gmail.com if you please. I hope my answers make you smile and put your mind at ease. So please tell all your friends and everyone you know. It's Corpse Run Radio.
Corpse Run Radio.
Corpse Run Radio.